Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Chof Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Before we begin today's shiur from the point we left off in our previous shiur, we want to clear up some inaccuracy that may have been taught during our last shiur by picking the Gemara up a few lines above the midway mark. You'll notice there's a two dots gufa, which is the point at which we should be beginning our shiur today. But 4-5 lines above that, the Gemara had been dealing with the issue of oros behema tahora. Are they shayach to kabolas tuma be'oil ames, whereby the overhang itself will be mekabel tumas mace, if there is a body under an overhang made of leather from a kosher variety animal. So the Gemara concluded that in fact there will be kabbalas tuma of such an overhang, and that is taught in the Gemara where it says the first word online you'll notice is mibaya. Right after that is the words shiny hasam. The case of the behema tahora is different than the question that Rebbe Lozer had raised regarding Or Behema Tameah. Why? Why is the Or Behema Torah something that's clear? Says the Hoder Ahadre Kra, because the Pasuk went ahead and made an effort to compare the Or Behema Tahora to that which we know is Mekabel Tuma, namely to something else that is called Oihel. And that's something else that's called oil. It happens to be the rios izim, the covering of the Mishkan made of goat hairs, which is called oil. And oil, we proved at the top of this daf, is subject to kabolas tumas mace as an overhang. So where do we see oros behema Torah compared to the rios izim, which are called oil? So the pasuk says, Vinosu es yirios hamishkon ves oil moyed michseu umichse atachas shesher olav. Makish elyon letachton. In this pasuk, we are comparing the elyon. Those are the oros elim. That's the covering of the mishkon made of the skins of rams. Letachton to the lower level covering, which is made of goat hairs. Ma tachton kori ohel, the tachton, the yirios izim, is called ohel, and the pasuk that indicates that, you'll see on the side of the Gemara, is Perek Chavov, pasuk Zayin, which says, that's in Shmois, Perek Chavov, pasuk Zayin, v'osisa yirios izim lo ohel. And we pointed out on the top, the second line from the top of this daf, that oil is shayach to tumas mace, as was proven by the Gezer Shava. And that's what the Gemara says here. Ma tachton kori oil, just like the Yerus Izum is called oil, as Pasuk Zion indicates, af elyoin kori oil. So too, we apply the term oil to the Oros Elim as well. So hopefully that clears up an inaccuracy that we had taught at the end of our previous year. And we now continue Gufa. Here we're focusing on that which was mentioned parenthetically above, Boy Rebbe Lozer. Actually, before we learn the Gemara, let's just glance at the side of the Gemara. We have a nosei, a topic heading, Or Behema Tamea, the skins of an unkosher variety animal, Mahu Shiitame Tumas Oyalin. Can it be mekabel tumas mace as an overhang? In other words, not only are the things underneath this overhang made of this this leather of unkosher animals will be tumay if there is a body under it, and you have this leather overhanging overshadowing, so other vessels will also become defiled tumas mace because of the din of oil. But our issue here is the covering itself. Does it become tumay? we had mentioned in our previous shiur that as far as things that are yotzim reitz, there won't be tumas oihel to the overhang, other than by pishton, a flax overhang. However, we're dealing now with leather, and in our the point we just opened up with today dealt with the kosher variety skins are subject to this tumas oihel. What about unkosher variety animals? So that is the issue that our Gemara opens up with, namely Rebbe Elazar's question. Boy, Rebbe Elazar, or behemot tameo, ma'al shi'atamet tumas oyalin. Does the skin of an unkosher variety animal, so is it subject to defilement of tumas meis as an overhang? The Gemara asks back, it says, my kobe boyale, what's the root of Rebbe Elazar's question? What's bothering Rebbe Elazar that causes him to raise this question? Omar Rav Ado Bar Avo, Tachash bimei Moshe kobe boyale. The Tachash, which existed in the days of Moshe, Tachash is the name of a creature that existed in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, and we should point out that it says in Shmos Perchav Bo Posuk Yudalid the following. We have this posuk recorded at the upper corner of the page in the inside margin, in the upper part. You could see V'yosisa Michse Loyal Oros Eilim Ma'adamim U'Michse Oros Techoshim Milamala. So you have the Oros Techoshim, and we know that the Oros Eilim were compared to the Yerios Ezim we just mentioned earlier, that they, the Oros Elim, are Mekabel Tuma. What about the Tachash, which is also referred to in that Pasuk? Its skins were used for covering the Mishkan. So the question is, this Tachash animal, was it a kosher variety animal or an unkosher variety animal? That's the Tachash Shoy Bimei Moshe Komei Bailei Tome Hoyo O Toho Hoyo. If we can establish that it was Tome, so then it would be we would then have evidence that an oil made of or behemot tmeah is also subject to kabolas tumas meis as an overhang. If we establish it to be tohor, so then the Rebbe Elazar's question will remain unanswered. Before we go further in the Gemara, we now encounter a marking, a triangle, and the triangle is featured under our mivneh heading. Rav Yosef, he is in the triangle over here. Or behemot tmeo eino betumas oyalim. He will take the approach that it's not betumas oyalim, but later on the Omid you'll see an inverted triangle here, and that's in the last narrow line of the Gemara, and the very bottom of the Gemara, the last expression on this page also, we noted those are deos chokos. These are deos that don't agree with Rav Yosef. So our Gemara continues. Omar Rav Yosef, my tiboyale, why is he even asking the question? Tanina, we have a Tanaic source that says, Lo hukshu lemlecha shemayim elo or behema tohoro bilvad. Here's a Tanaic source that says that for melecha shemayim, for things that are of a holy ritual nature, only kosher variety skins are allowed. So that would seem to answer the question. Here we're dealing with meleches shemayim, things needed for the divine, for the Almighty, namely the skins of the Mishkan, the covering of the Mishkan, and it says here clearly that only kosher variety skins would be allowed. Mosiv Rabbi Abba, an objection is raised, and we have a Tanaic source, and this source discusses the coverings of the Mishkan, and it mentions the skin coverings, the leather coverings, and at the very end of this framed Tanaic source, you see a dashed underlined expression. It says, Kemin Tola Ilon. Tola Ilon is an animal. It's an unkosher variety animal. And it indicates in this source that skins that are associated with this unkosher variety animal are acceptable. The Gemara will defend Rav Yosef after the source. But in the meantime, Mosiv Rabbi Abba, the question is raised. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Shnei Michsos Hoyu, there were two coverings of the Mishkan, Echad shel oros elim me'odamim, one of ram skins that were red, the echad shel oros tchoshim, and the other of the skins of the tachash animal. Rabbi Nechemi Omer michse echad hoyo, he said there was only one covering, and these two skins were formed this one covering, the doimer kemin tola ilan, and it looked like this type of creature. And Rashi says about the Tolin Chayo Tameoi Numeris Begivonim. It was a multicolored animal. The Ha Tola Ilan, the Gemara says, Tamehu. The Tola Ilan, which the source was mentioning that the skins are like the skins of the Tolilan, well, that's an unkosher variety animal. So we would see, contrary to what the source Rav Yosef introduced, had claimed. The Gemara says, no, there is no inconsistency or no contradiction, rather, Hochi Komar. This source that made reference to the Tolilan is to be understood as follows. Kamin Tola Ilan, Hu Shiyesh Bo Givonim Harbe. It's like the Tola Ilan, just like the Tola Ilan was a creature that was a multicolored creature, so the skins referred to over covering the Mishkan were also multicolored. The low Tola Ilan, but on the other hand, it wasn't the skins of the Tola Ilan, the Luhasam Tomei Vochator. The Tola Ilan itself is an unkosher variety animal, and as such would be unacceptable. And here, Hocha, in the case of the Mishkan, the skins were tahor. So the point is that the skins used to cover the Mishkan were from a kosher variety animal, and that's why it was allowed. And the reference to Tola Ilan is it was like the Tola Ilan insofar as the Tola Ilan is a multicolored creature, so too the skins covering the Mishkan had that appearance. Omar Rav Yosef, I Hochi, well, if that's the case, that the Tola Ilan here was only a reference to the fact that it was multicolored. It was Yeshbo Givonim Harbe, as we said. Givonim means different shades, different colors. So, Ihochi Hainu de Metar Geminon Sasgoino, then that's now I understand where the Targum word, a Sasgona, appears in the context of the Oros, the skins covering the Mishkan. The Targum, the Aramaic, of the Aramaic translation that appears alongside the Torah on the topic of the Oros Hamishkan, it says Sasgona, and that means Shesos Begivonim Harbe. It was literally joyous in its many different colors. It was a joyful looking thing. Rova Omar. You'll notice that the triangle is reversed, and if we refer back to our Mivneh heading, this represents Deos Cholkos, disagreeing with Rav Yosef's attempt. He wanted to say that Orbe Matmeh is not suitable is not included in Tumas Oyhalim. And here Rava, and we also have a long point marking, that's the Nun you see to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text. It's circled and a dashed to be more accurate, to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, we have this Nun and the descending vertical dashed line that takes you down a number of lines till the third line from the bottom. So, Rova Omar or Behema Tamea Demetame Boiho Hames Mehocha. So we dashed underline the main point, the metame boil ames, the or of vema tmeo that is subject to kabbalas tuma boil ames, mehocha, is derived from the following. Desanya, we have a Tanaic source, and this source features the topic of negoyim, of tsaras. And it says, quotes from the posik or, o beor, riba. The expression o beor comes to include or behema tmeo. So that or behema tmeya is subject to tumas negoyim, and we want to make an association between this and tumas meis. Continuing, v'sheloka biad kohen, the or expression is marbe or behema tmeya, and v'sheloka biad kohen. Rashi explains v'sheloka biad kohen misher eyu biad. Kohen nase nega u mitchila lo hoya nega. Once it was shown to the Kohen, the nega had appeared, and it was from the point that the Kohen sees it, it is determined to be a nega, but beforehand, no. Kotsats mikulon v'osa achas mehen minayin. Rashi on this, Kotsas Mikulon, Mikol Huamurim the Pasuk. from all the different materials that are mentioned in the pasuk. If one cut little pieces of the different materials mentioned in the pasuk and attach them all together, from where do we know that that also would be subject to tumas negoyim? So Talmud Lomar, oy v'chol maleches or. So from this we learn that when is tumas negoyim is shayach to what? It's shayach to or behema tamea. It sets in once the kohen establishes that it's a nega, and it also negoyim is subject also to small pieces of the different materials mentioned in the pasuk that were attached together. So that that's the last point. Let's read this last line again. Kotzes mikov osa achas mehen minayin. If he took the different materials and cut little pieces of each one and attached them together, from where do we know that that too is makabel tumas negoyim? Talmud lomar oy b'chol maleches or. Ve'ika lemifrach. Well, you can challenge that. The comparison that we attempted to do here was to learn from the goyim to tumas oil by mace. Mal in the goyim shekain shtiv yorev tomei bahen. How can you learn from the goyim to the realm of tumas mace? Because in the realm of negoyim, something additional is subject to tuma that you don't find by tumas mace, and that is the shtiv yorev, the whoop and warf threads, the thin and thick threads of a loom, of the weaving. The threads themselves are subject to tumas negoyim, which is not the case by tumas mace. Before we go further, let's just remind ourselves that we're in the middle of a long point, and that it takes all of these lines of Gemara in order to find out how we really know that or be'ema tmeo is subject to tumas oyel hamase. So in the meantime, at the first stage, we tried to learn it from tumas negoyim, but we can't do that, as we just pointed out, that tumas negoyim has a feature that it can appear on threads as well. And that is not the case by tumas mace. They don't become tomei because they're not a formed vessel. Ela gomar mishrotzim. Rather, let's learn tumas oil hamace from the din of tumas sheretz desanya, or ein li'elo or behema tahora or behema tamei minayin. From where do I know that or behema tamei, the skins of an unkosher animal, are also subject to tumas shrotzim? Talmud lomar o or. The Gemara says, well, you can't learn from this either, the Iko Lemifrach. And you can see with our markings, we've double underlined the Iko Lemifrach points as they come along. And we've also indicated this on the side under our Mivneh heading. So we cannot learn right now from Shrotzim to oil, to the din of Tumas oil by a mace. The Iko Lemifrach, Mal Shrotzim Shekein Mitamin Bichadosha. Shrotzim has this feature, stringency to them, that they are even an adosha size, sometimes translated as a lentil size of dead sheretz, communicates tumas sheretz, where when it comes to mace, you need to have a larger amount before the tumah can set in. So it's safe to say that shrotzim are more stringent in that sense. Well, the Gemara says negoyim yochichu. Well, negoyim can serve to take the place of shrotzim, because the goyim appear only at a larger stage, a size namely a grease, which is larger than an adosha. V'chazar hadin lo roize kiroize v'lo roize kiroize. The attempt to similarities between one are not like, where the characteristics of one are not like the characteristics of the other. In other words, if you try to compare mace to negoyim, we found the shtivi orif difficulty. And if you attempt to compare the mace to the shrotzim, we find the shiur difficulty, the quantity difficulty. So neither one is like the other. However, hatzad ashov shebohen, the common denominator between negoyim and shrotzim, is she'or tomei bohen v'osa or behema tomeko or behema tahora. We find that leather is that or that leather becomes tomei in both of those cases. In both cases, you have the word or in the tumas negoyment by tumas sheretz, and we also know that the or behemo tomeah is like or behemo tohora. So afani ovi oil ames sheor tomei bo, that skin as an overhang is subject to being mekabel tumas meis venasibo or behemo tomeah keor behemo tohora, and we will likewise compare the or behemo tomeah to or behemo tohora, and with that we would have that would be the end of the point that we were looking for. From where do we see that or behemo tomeah is subject to tumas oil meis? The Gemara now asks Akasha, Omar le Rav Rava mi Barnish le Rav Ashi, Iko le Mifrach, you can still undo this comparison as follows. Ma le Tzad HaShava Shebehen, how can you compare the common denominator that exists between the Goyim and Shrotzim to oil ames? Shekein Temeyin Bepochus Mikazayas, both the Goyim and Shrotzim demonstrate their Tumah at a quantity less than a kezias, less than an olive size. We mentioned the shrotzim is its tuma is at a when you have dead sheretz the size of an adosha, and the goyim we says is established to be tume when the discoloration is the size of a gris. But both of those, the adosha and the gris, are both something that are smaller than an olive. So tomar b'mei sheinu matame elo b'kezias. Should you say the same thing that there's tumas oil of or behemo tomeah by tumas by oil ames just because you find it by negoyim and shrotzim? You can't say that, because negoyim and shrotzim are a more stringent area. That's why the or behemo tomeah will be subject to that, to their respective tumas. Elo omar rovo mi barnish. So notice again, the inverted triangle draws your attention to that fact that he too is going to come and give us a source. After he derailed the Rava source, so Rava mi Barnish was Sael, he gives us something, another source. And we continue at the top of Omid Beis now. Asya b'kavachomer mi noitse shel izin. Let us derive Tumas Oil Amase by Or Behemot Tameah through a Kalvachomer logic from Noitzah Shel Izim. Noitzah Shel Izim is a reference to material made from goat hairs. What is the nature of the Noitzah Shel Izim? She'ein Metame B'Negoyim, Metame Oil Amase. It is not subject to Tumas Negoyim, to Tzoras, but it is subject to Oil Amase. Or Behemot Tameah She'metame B'Negoyim, the skins of an unkosher animal which are subject to tzoras, and that we saw in a source on Omid Aleph. So Einodin Shemitama Boyal Mes, certainly it will be subject to Tumas Oyal Hames. At this point, we go back to a source that had been mentioned by Rav Yosef on Omid Aleph, and for your convenience, we have an arrow that you see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text that indicates to go back to Chof Ches, to go back to Omid Aleph. And you'll find a parallel arrow there on Omid Aleph indicating to go to this point, namely here on Omid Beis. So the Gemara asks, "Velo hadi tani Rav Yosef, that which Rav Yosef taught in as a Tanaic source, lo shuru b'mach shemaim el or be'ema toro bilvad, that for melecha shemaim, for holy purposes, only kosher variety skins are allowed, l'mai ilchasa." Well, for what is that? For what purpose is that? We see right now that as far as the oros that were used to cover the Mishkan, it seems that would have been okay. The Rashi says, "Elo hadatan Rav Yosef kevan de ravinun or behemo tameya loyal ames." Since we've included the skins of behemo tameya to the din of oyal ames, hadatani Rav Yosef lamai hilchasa. What value does this teaching have? My dahave have, if you want to say that its value is with regard to the oros of the covering of the Mishkan, well, that's history. That's that which was ilav lemelef minei lutuma. Unless there was some purpose in teaching something that has more of a practical benefit for dinim of tuma. So the Gemara continues. L'mai hilchasa, for what was this taught? L'tfilin. Rashi says, L'tfilin itmar, dehinami melecha shemayim. It's taught for the halacha of writing tfilin on parchment, and it can be written on the parchment of, it must be written on the parchment only of a kosher variety animal. The Gemara says, "Tefillin behedyok siv behulaman tia toras Hashem beficha," and from this pasuk we learn min hamutar beficha, that when it comes to toras Hashem, as is the case of the tefillin parchment that you write the different sections of the Torah, it must be from something that's mutar beficha, something that you are allowed to eat, namely a kosher variety animal. Ela li'oiron. The word l'oron is the leather. It's a reference to the leather boxes that contain the tefillin passages that we just referred to in the previous diamond. And we should point out, by the way, that these diamonds are explained on the side under our Nosei Mivneh heading. These are Nisyonos Shel HaGemora Lasbir Ma Bo Mekorosh Rav Yosef Lameid, the attempts of the Gemara to figure out what does the Rav Yosef source come to teach, the Katoni in which it was stated, Lo'ul Shul Melech Shemaim Elo'or Be'im Otor Bilvad, that for Melech Shemaim only kosher variety animal skins are allowed. So regarding what halacha, and you'll notice all of these diamonds, they all have some association with the general mitzvah of tefillin, different physical aspects of the tefillin. So as far as the parchment that's inserted into the tefillin boxes, that we have another source that it must come only from a kosher variety animal. That's from the Pasuk L'man Tia Teres Hashem Beficha. The Gemara is right now suggesting maybe it means for the boxes themselves, that they must come from a kosher variety animal. The Gemara says, well, I don't need Rav Yosef's source for that. V'omra Abaye Shin Shel Tefillin Halocha L'Moshe Misinai. The shin that appears on the box of the tefillin Shel Rosh, that it must be there, is based on an oral tradition. It's called Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. And according to Rashi, this shin is part of the name of Hashem, which is the Shin Dalet Yud name. And since it represents a letter that's part of the shame of Hashem, it too must be from or be formed on something that's mutar beficha. And that is from the pasuk of Laman Tia Teres Hashem Beficha. So I don't need the Rav Yosef source to convey that idea. I have the pasuk for that. Elo l'korchan besairon u'l'tofron begidon. Rather, it's for you need to have kosher variety animal parts for korchon besaron, that's to tie around the individual parchments that are inserted to fill in. Those little parchments are wrapped around with hair from the animal, and litofron begidon, and the sewing of the tefillin together with the sinews of a kosher variety animal. So that is what I'm going to be learning from the Rav Yosef source. The Gemara asks, "Honami halacha l'moshe misinai hu disanya." These points in our last diamond are part of an oral tradition back to Sinai, and the Tanaic source that Rav Yosef quoted didn't indicate anything about a halacha l'moshe misinai. Disanya tefillin rubo halacha l'moshe misinai. The need for tefillin to be square is an oral tradition. Nichrochus b'sarim v'nifros begidon is also the tying around of each parchment with the animal hairs and the tefillin being sewn together with the animal sinews. are part of a halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai. So I still don't know what is the Rav Yosef source coming to teach us. Ella liritsuos. It's telling us that the tefillin straps must be made from leather of a kosher variety animal. The Gemara asks, "V'amar Rav Yosef, ritsuos shkaros halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai." The tefillin straps must be black. Well, that's a teaching of the halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai nature. And we indicated a moment before, which was based on Rashi, that the Tanaic source of Rav Yosef was not based on a halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai. So the Gemara responds, Nehi de Gemiri Shchoros, Tahoros mi Gemiri. The oral tradition that speaks about the straps, that is only as far as they're having to be black. However, what kind of animal do they come from? Tahoros mi Gemiri. Is that also part of the halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai, that they have to come from a kosher variety animal? Well, not necessarily so. So the Gemara here leaves us off with the feeling that maybe the source that Rav Yosef taught would be the basis of the ritsuos coming from a kosher variety animal. The Gemara asks, "My havi Allah the tachash shebimei Moshe." The question here is, what is the status of the tachash animal that was in the time of Moshe, from whom the covering of the Mishkan was made? Let us glance at Rashi momentarily. My havi lo de tachash hoyul ul Rav Yosef lav leinyan melacha de mishkan itmar. Since Rav Yosef's teaching, we concluded, was dealing with the ritsuos of the tefillin and not regarding the covering of the mishkan. Lo ifshid ba'ayon. Our original question hasn't been concluded, namely the question concerning the skins covering the mishkan. Specifically, the tachash animal, was that a kosher variety animal or not? So, as we say, that particular point was not resolved. The Gemara answers, and you'll notice we have a long answer marking that appears to the right hand side of the Gemara text. A tuf, it's a circle with a descending vertical dashed line, indicates the length of this answer. And we've also indicated on the side, under our no say heading, that here we're going to deal with the tachash that was in the time of Moshe. We will also point out that it was a single-horned creature. It can be called a unicorn or uni-horned creature. The Gemara. Omer of Yiloh, Omer of Shuben Lokish. Omer hoya Rabbi Meir tachash shoy b'mei Moshe b'riyo b'fnei atzma hoya. It was a unique creature. V'lo ichru bo chachomim im min chaya hu im min behema hu. And it wasn't resolved by the chachomim whether it was an undomesticated type animal, that's a chaya, or it was a behema, or a domesticated type animal. The Karen achas hoy slo b'mischon had a singular horn in its forehead. And Moshe Rabbeinu has happened to chance upon this animal. It's not an animal that's found commonly. And he chanced upon it. And he made from its skins the Mishkan covering, and it was then put away. From the fact that it says in this presentation that it had one horn in its forehead, Shema Minotor Hoya. That's an indication this tachash was a kosher variety animal. The Yomer of Yehuda, Shor Shikriv Odom Arishon, Keren Achas Hoysel Ova Mitzcho. The ox that Odom Arishon offered as a sacrifice had a singular horn in its forehead, Shneemar, Vatete Vashem, Mishor Par, Makrin, Mafris. So in that pasuk, there's a reference to the animal that Odom Arishon offered, and it says, Makrin. It had one horn in its forehead. The Gemara asks, "Where do you see one horn? How do you see in this puzzle one horned creature?" Makrin tarti mash. The word makrin has a plural form to it, which would indicate two horns. So we couldn't conclude anything about a one horned creature being of a kosher nature. Omar of Nachman Yitzchok. Makrin ksiv. In other words, it's spelled without the yud in it. And as such, it could be also read Mikeren, or Keren is a singular horn. So, we're at this point, the Gemara is preserving Rav Ilah's answer that the Tachash was in fact a kosher variety animal. The Gemara asks, V'lifshot minei demin behemahu. We had mentioned earlier, and you'll notice we have a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. You can align with the arrow above. At that point, the Gemara said that the Chachamim had not decided whether it was a chaya or a behema. Well, from this answer, why not conclude that it was a type of behema? Let's restate that point. Let's conclude that the tachash was a type of behema, and that being that it had a singular horn in it, and the only other creature we know to have a singular horn in it is the shor shehikriv adam harishon, which is a kosher variety animal, but it's a behema. The emphasis right now is on behema. The Gemara responds, Kevon dika keresh, since there is another creature called the keresh, the min chayahu v'les le'elo chada keren. The keresh is a known chaya. It's an undomestic animal, has a singular horn, and therefore, the fact that something has a singular horn like the tachash, it's not decisive that it's necessarily a behema, but it could be a chaya. Let's read this response again. Kevon de'ika keresh, demin chayahu v'les le'elo chada keren, ika le'meimar min chayahu. There is room to say that the tachash that we were trying to figure out, or the chachamim, Morris said the chachamim never came to a decision on it, could be that the keresh is also, the tachash is a type of chaya, an undomesticated variety animal. The Mishnah. Before we learn the Mishnah, we have a topic heading. The Nosei, E Kipul Beged Mevatlo Mishem Kli. Does the folding of a piece of cloth in order to make it into a wick, the fact that you took the piece of cloth and as such it would have been subject to Kabbalah's Tumah, to absorbing Tumah, but now you twined it or rolled it up into a wick. So our Gemara, the Mishnah starts. Psila sabeged shekiplo v'lo yivavo. You rolled up the fabric into a wick, but he didn't singe it. The singeing is something that one does when he prepares wicks for lighting. He'll singe them to make them burn better. So Rabbi Elazar omer tameahi v'ein madlikin ba. It's subject to Kabbalah's Tumah, but one is not to use it for lighting on Shabbos. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Tahirahi, it's not subject to Kabbalah's Tumah, Umadlikimbo, and you're able to use it for Shabbos candles. There's a Rashi that's on the Mishnah commentary, the third line of that part, which is in the middle of the page. You can see Tameahi, the Beged Kli Hu. An article of clothing is considered a vessel, Umekabel Tumah, and as such, as classified as a Kli, it's subject to absorbing defilement. Im Hoya Shalosh Shalosh, if the fabric is 3x3, it's bois. The kipul ein mevatlo mitoras beged hoyo v'lo hivavo. The fact that you rolled it into wick doesn't remove its beged status, because since you haven't singed it, you haven't done hivuv to it. So that's Rabbi Elazar's opinion that it's tamea, subject to Kabbalah's Tumah, and you don't use it for a wick on for Shabbos candles. As far as that is concerned, why not? That the Gemara will deal with. Rabbi Kiva Omer Tahurahi, it loses its beged status, or its kli status, and you can use it. So let us take a look at the overall structure of the Gemara before we get into the text itself, because it's an interlocking structure, if you will. You'll see there's a type of overlap in this Gemara. Hence, we're using two geometric forms to enable us to navigate in this particular sugya. So you'll notice, first of all, we have a bow tie, and under our topic heading, or our more accurately, our structural note, under the Mivneh structural note, you notice that we've written by the bow tie, Hesberim, we are trying to explain Lahod de Kotoni Psil Sabeget Shekipla the Loi Velo Hivava. Whether it's Mekabel Tumah or not. So we saw in our Mishnah a machlokas on that point, and here we're going to explain that. That's explained under the bow tie shape. So we're going to be focusing on this Psis HaBeged Shekiblo V'lo Hivavo, and the machlokas, whether or not it's Mekabel Tumah. So that's the first bow tie, and the second bow tie addresses the same issue, and that second bow tie, you'll have to wait quite a long time till you see it. The lower part of Chof Tes Omed Aleph. See, Rav Hamuna's name is marked thusly. We've also used a double underline marking to highlight the expressions Le'inyin Tumo and Le'inyin Havloka. These are the two points that were mentioned in the Mishnah. So we want to be able to explain those points. Later, you'll see a diamond that appears, and this is also explained on the side of the Gemara, where the diamond appears. Hesberim laha depligi rebeloza rebekiva le'inyan hadlok b'psil sabeget shekibla v'lo hivava. Here we'll be dealing with the explanation of that machlokas between Rebbe and Rebbe Kiva using the singed wick, the unsinged wick, that is, for lighting. So overall, the bow ties are associated with explaining the Indian of the Tuma mentioned in the Mishnah, and the diamonds are focusing on the question of using this kind of wick for Shabbos candles. So the Gemara opens. Bishlamo linyan tuma, b'ha pligi. As far as the tuma issue, the following is the explanation. The relozer savar, kipol eno moyel. The fact that you took a piece of fabric and rolled it into wick doesn't have an effect on removing the tuma aspect from it. Uvamisika maisa kaimo, and it stands in its original with its original status, namely the beged. Was before it was rolled into a wick, it was something that was subject to Kabbalah's Tumah. The fact that you rolled it into a wick doesn't change its status. Rabbi Kiva Savar, Kipul Moil, Ubatule Botil. The Kipul, according to Rabbi Lazar, the fact that you took this piece of fabric and rolled it into a wick, that is Mevatel from it the shame beget. That's. And as a result, ubatule botil, and it becomes botel. It's voided from its beged status, and therefore it's not mekabel tuma. Ela le'inyan hadloka b'may pligi, regarding the issue of using this kind of wick, this psil saber shkibah v'lo hivavo, can you use it for your Shabbos candles? So Amr b'lozom Rav Shaya, v'chein Amr v'ala b'ahava, hocha b'sholosh v'sholosh mitzum samas askinon. Here we're talking about a piece of fabric that's exactly 3x3 fingers in area. U'b'yom tov shechal yoser of Shabbos askinon, and we're also talking about a Friday that is that happens to be a yom tov. It's a yom tov that falls out on an Erev Shabbos on a Friday. Now, you want to light Shabbos candles. You're going to be lighting that, in effect, in this case, you're going to be lighting on a Yom Tov day, because Yom Tov fell out on Friday. Um, regarding Yom Tov, the halachas of Muktza and Nolad are shayach, are applicable. So that's something that is important to note before we go on in the Gemara. Now, before we analyze the shitas themselves, namely Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Akiva, there are certain points we have to lay down. And that the Gemara does, when we've done it with our markings, you see an underlining under the Kulei Alma, and a little bit later as well, points one and two, our first assumptions that we're going to lay down. We already mentioned that the Mishnah that says you can't use it as a wick, it's not talking about standard Shabbos candles throughout the year, but specifically Friday, it's Erev Shabbos, which is the time for lighting Shabbos candles, but it's also a Yom Tov day. The Gemara continues, the Kuli Alma is Lehu de Rabbi Yehuda. Everyone, namely Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar, will subscribe to Rabbi Yehuda, Diomar Masikin became Vein Masikin Mishivri Kalim. You're only allowed to use vessels if you want to, let us say, take a chair and burn it. So you can do that. You can take a chair and burn it, but you can't take an item that broke on Yom Tov. That when Yom Tov set in, it was a full vessel, and in the middle of Yom Tov, it broke. It became a shever kli. The reason for that is that's Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, and this is a problem of Muktzeh. It wasn't designed for lighting when Yom Tov set in. So whatever its status was when Yom Tov set in, that's what determines it for the rest of the day. So when it set in, it was a chair. It broke in the middle of the day, but it wasn't designed to be broken. And as a result of that, you cannot use it on Yom Tov for lighting purposes. Udekule Alma Islehu de Ula. And another point that Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Elazar will agree to is Ula's teaching, Diomar Ula, Hamadlik, Tzorach Shiadlik Baroiv Ayotze. That when one is lighting a wick, so he has to, let's say if you're holding a match to the wick, so you have to make sure that you move your match along the majority of the wick that's emerged, that's protruding from the oil, in order to assure that the flame will be a solid flame, a constant flame. So that's called, as Rashi says, that's called lahadlik biyodayim. You have to physically burn the wick in the regarding the majority of the wick that's protruding forth from the oil receptacle. We continue in the Gemara with these two assumptions laid down. Rabbi Elazar Sovar. We should go back to where the diamond is, where you have Omar of Adavar Hava, Hocha b'sholosh al sholosh mitzumtzamos askinan. We're talking about a piece of fabric that you're forming into a wick, but it started out as 3 by 3 fingers breadth of fabric, an exact 3 by 3 fingers, not any more. Now, let's continue with the Gemara. Rabbi Elazar Sovar, you'll notice we have a little diamond with a number 1 to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. This is the first approach. Rabbi Elazar Sovar, Kipol Eino Mo'il. The rolling up of the fabric into a wick does not change its beged status, so it's still a kli. The Kevon de Adlik Bei Purta, and since you lit a little bit of it, you started lighting the wick, Havio Le Shever Kli, because as soon as a little bit starts to burn, so it's no longer a full 3x3 etzbos, which is the minimum size for a vessel for Kabbalah's Tuma. So if I start off with a piece of fabric that is considered a vessel, that's exactly 3x3 etzbos, and I started lighting a little bit of it, as soon as I started lighting a little bit of it, it becomes a shever kli. Havila shever kli. It becomes considered like a broken, like we mentioned before, a broken chair. Here it's a broken fabric, so to speak. Broken piece of fabric. It lost its minimum dimension for being considered a kli. And we said that just lighting a little bit is not enough, but you have to conform to Ula's teaching that when you're lighting a wick, you move your match along the majority of the wick. V'chi ka madlik, as he continues lighting the wick, what is he in effect lighting? B'shever kli ka madlik, he's now lighting a shever kli. And as we said before, everyone holds by Rabbi Yehuda, which tells me that you cannot use a shever kli. You can't deal with a shever kli on Yom Tov. We should just mention once again, and the problem of the shever kli is a problem of muksa / nolad. It wasn't like this when Yom Tov day set in. Rabbi Kiva Sovar, Kipul Mo'il, the Ein Toras Kli Olav. Rabbi Kiva says that the rolling up of that 3x3 finger piece of fabric, the preparation of it into a wick, removes the shame kli, the kli status from it. V'chi komadlik, v'eitz v'almo komadlik. And what he is lighting, eitz is literally a piece of wood, but it's the, we'll call it the counter or the antithesis of a kli. It's a non-kli. So whatever he's lighting, he's not lighting something that broke, that lost its status when Yom Tov, after Yom Tov set in, because when he had rolled this piece of fabric into a wick, it already, at that point, it already lost its status as being a kli. Omar Rav Yosef, Hainu de Tanino, Gimel al Gimel mitzumtzamos v'yaldana l'may hilchasa. Rabbi Yosef says, I now understand that which I didn't understand earlier. There was a Tanaic source that said, in this context, 3x3 fingers exactly. And I didn't know what that applied to. Now I understand that applies to this particular halacha of the piece of fabric that had measured exactly 3x3 etzbos, and you now started lighting it. According to Rebbe Lozer, we saw in the Mishnah, you can't do it because you're going to be dealing with a shever kli, and according to Rebbe Kiva, you are allowed to use it because it didn't have a kli status to begin with when Yom Tov set in. You'll notice we have a semicolon, which indicates that which follows is not an exact continuation of the flow, but it is related to that which we saw earlier. And we also have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text to make things easier to find. The Gemara says, "Umitako mitareitz Rav Ado bar Avo aliva de Rabbi Yehuda," from the fact that Rav Ado bar Avo, as we saw above, where the diamond was, that's where our arrow is. Rav Ado bar Avo was coming to explain he explained the Mishnah. I'll leave it to Behuda. We saw that under our Kuli Alma number 1, where we said everyone holds like Rav Yehuda that you cannot burn Shivrei Kelim. So the fact that Rav Ado bar Avo was using Shitas Rav Yehuda as the basis of his explanation, so Shema Mino, Rav Yehuda Sirei, this would give us grounds for thinking that Rav Ado holds like Rebbe Yehuda, that says that there is a problem if something is nolad, it developed for the first time on Yom Tov itself. In other words, it wasn't available for use erev Yom Tov. The Gemara asks, "Umi Omer Rav Ado bar Avo Hochi?" Does Rav Ado bar Avo subscribe to this, to the stringency of nolad? The Ho Omer Rav Ado bar Avo, and we continue now with the Gemara at the top of Chof Tesam Aleph. He says, "Nochri shechokak kav bevakas," a Gentile who carved out a measuring vessel from a log on Yom Tov. Yisrael Masiko B'Yom Tov, a Jew can use it as fuel on Yom Tov. V'amai, nolad hu. Well, why would that be allowed? Is it not nolad? In other words, when Yom Tov set in, it was a log. It was a piece of wood. It was a hunk of wood. It wasn't a kli. It was then formed on Yom Tov into a kli, so it wasn't that way when Yom Tov set in. So how can you use it? How can you even move it around? So this would indicate that Rav Ado does not, that Rav Ado, if Rav Ado is holding by Rav Yehuda, he wouldn't be allowed to use it. On the other hand, Rav Ado said Yisro Masiko B'Yom Tov, that a Yisro can use it as fuel. So the Gemara answers, L'divrehem de Rav Elozer v'Rav Akiva ko'omar le v'le lo svira le. When we saw Rav Ado bar Avo employing Rav Yehuda as part of an explanation, he was doing so in order to explain the Machlokas Rav Elozer and Rav Akiva. According to Rav Ado, there was no other way to explain it other than making the Tanoim and the Mishnah dependent on Shitas Rav Yehuda. That was only as far as explaining their Shitas. However, Lay, that means Rav Ado himself, Lo Sfirli, he doesn't hold from that, but rather he would hold, like the case of the measuring vessel that was formed on Yom Tov, that you could use it, because he does not hold from the Iser of Nolad or the Iser of Muktzah. Rava Omar, you'll notice Rava has a diamond as well, and he is called, we also have a number 2 to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, another approach to explaining the issue of Hadlaka, of the Psilus HaBeged, Shekiplo V'lo Hivhava. So Rava Omar, Hainu Taimo de Rebbe Eliezer, the reason for Eliezer saying not to light with this wick that was not singed, that psisaber shelo hivava, lefi she'ein madlikin bepsila she'enon mechureches velo besmartutin she'enon mechurochin. Rava's approach is saying that this halacha applies all year to every Erev Shabbos. It's not something limited like Rav Ada's approach, which set up the Mishnah and the Machlokis on a Friday, which happened to be Yom Tov. But it's a general rule that you're not allowed to use as wicks, wicks that were not mukhrech, that were not singed before. And smartuthim are sometimes translated as rags, but we're using it as fuel. You're not as fuel, but rather as wicks. You're not allowed to use these things unless they were singed before. Because if you light something that wasn't singed, light a wick that wasn't singed before, and it won't burn very well. This explanation having nothing to do with the dinim of nolad. Well, Elaha, the Tani Rav Yosef, Shalosh Gimul, Shalosh Al Shalosh Mitzum Tzomois, Lamai Hilchasa. We had a source that Rav Yosef said he didn't understand, but we finally had meaning for this source of 3x3 fingers exactly. That figured into the explanation that Rav Ado gave to the Sugya. But with Rava's explanation, what meaning will this source have? So the Gemara answers, L'inyin tuma. It has value with regard to dinim of tuma, disnan. Gimel al gimel shomru, chutz min hamelel, divrei Rabbi Shimon, v'chomim omrim, gimel al gimel mechuvonos. When we speak about 3x3 fingers of fabric being subject to Kabbalah's tuma, we say so because a poor man would take that and use it as a patch, on a rip, attaching it to other clothing. When you sew two pieces of clothing together, there's something called a melel. It's a type of fold made in the garment at the point of the stitch, where you stitch the two garments together. In order to make it an effective stitching, you have to fold the garment over, a little fold at the point that you'll do the stitching. So when we say that the 3x3 fingers breadth of fabric is subject to Kabbalah's Tuma, does that include the fold, or is it exclusionary of the fold? In other words, besides the part that you fold it over, there still has to be 3 by 3 fingers breadth of fabric. In other words, if you were to lay it flat out, it would measure a little bit more than 3 by 3, I suppose. So the Tanakhama says that the 3 by 3 statistic for Kabbalah's Tumah is besides the Melel, and the Chachamim reflect the source that Rav Yosef had taught, that it's 3 by 3 exact, meaning including the Melel. Rashi himself, he describes this, and the Rashi Dibur Maschil Mechuvano says Mitzumtzamos V'Hochi Ach Shivua V'Afagav Shidfor Lo Have Sholosh, that what comes out as far as the Chachomim's Shior is concerned, that the patch when it's sewn into the hole will actually be less than 3 by 3 at both, because you've folded over, you've doubled over the edge of it. His shita, the Chachamim shita, then represents a type of stringency where even something like that will be subject to defilement, to Kabbalah's Tumah. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.